This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Pedlin Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It's November 22nd, 2017. Is that right? Wow. It's
yes.
The day before Thanksgiving. Look at that. So anyway, welcome to Bicycle Talk this week with my co-host, Fran Storch.
Hi.
A show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, you can call or text right now at 860-486-9487, or you can simply email me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can also visit Bicycle Talk on Facebook. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org or on iTunes. If you'd like to contribute to the show or be on the show as a guest, please contact me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. Okay, Ron's Rant of the Week. It is that time. So I was perusing through my Bicycle Talk Facebook page and my regular page and went back and forth with this, and there seems to be a post on some negativity towards e-bikes. My rant of the week is to come down on those who are talking negatively about e-bikes. They're e-bikes, if you're not aware of them. I'll be very surprised if you're not aware of them by now, but they are electronic assist bicycles. There are a few different ways of doing e-bikes. The electronic assist is probably the most practical way of doing it. What it does is it adds electrical power to your bicycle when you are under a situation where you have a lot of load on the pedals and you can't quite push the pedals around. It detects that and then kicks in the motor and helps you get up hills or get started or whatever. So anyway, e-bikes definitely have a positive feature with certain people out there, and so they're like a handy little device, and the technology is only getting better and better and better as we go along. But then there are the purists that are out there, and the purists will mention things like I put a notification out on my Bicycle Talk Facebook page because I just wanted to see what people would think. So I said, how do you feel about e-bikes? Looking for comments and discussion. And I got the first person who commented was a person by the name of David, and David commented that they suck, they're for lazy people. Okay, so I simply told David, listen to the show today, or on my podcast when it gets published, is my rant of the week. So I am ranting right now. And I have another listener who's out in Oregon. It says, unless it allows one to bike commute, one to bike commute from Mansfield to Manchester. Okay, that's fun. He's used to live out here. Anyway, thank you, Justin. Another listener, Bruce, put pedal assists are a good commuter tool. No place for throttle bikes. We have sold what is to me an amazing number of e-mountain bikes, especially when you consider they start at a very high price. Anyway, the pedal assist thing is a big deal. Good old Tony in Hartford, he's okay with pedal assist and electronic throttle, but e-throttle isn't capped at 15 miles per hour. It shouldn't be on bike lanes and multi-use paths. Both are way better than cars. He makes a point. They're definitely better than cars, so that's a good thing. And then I got a rather lengthy comment from Deb out at Bicycles East in Glastonbury. Shout out to Deb. Hi, Deb. And I know that they have a pretty strong following of people that are now purchasing e-bikes from them. And I also know that Beth, who works there, another shout out, she has graduated over to the e-bike world. She's a strong commuter and would ride in from Middletown to Glastonbury every day and has been doing it for a really long time. But I remember talking to her and she said that she had moved and they had moved about 3 miles out of town and it was just a lot more difficult to get there. So she broke down and got an e-bike and she loves it. She absolutely loves it. And yes, Beth, we will get you on this show one of these days. I have to just sit down and figure out a time it's going to work, because I can't wait to hear what you have to say about it. Because, you know, you are a serious cyclist, and there are many serious cyclists out there that are now using these things for other things, primarily for transportation. It's a great commuting vehicle. So anyway, there is a lot on my Bicycle Talk Facebook page. If you care to look at that, you can see. Sarah from Massachusetts says that she thinks Pedal Assist is great if it gets more people on bikes. I'm with you, Sarah. Totally, totally, totally. And my friend Max says one look at the European market will tell you that all you need to know about e-bikes and what they've done there. And it has more people riding, which is all good for us. So that's a good thing. So anyway, the e-bike debate, that is my rant of the week, is based around the e-bike debate. And it is that I think people need to stop being so negative about it. It's a good thing, definitely. Moving from the negative side of things to the positive side.
Not yet.
No. What you got, Franny?
Well, I don't know if you saw this. This came across my desk, I'll go ahead and not mention the name of the company. But there was an ad that this company put out, and this company is a famous Italian company. They're putting out an e-bike, and they had an ad put out that displayed a beautiful woman's face on the ad, and they were showing. And they were talking about the benefits, how great of this e-bike. And one of the things in the text next to this beautiful woman's face, it said, this bike would be good for a woman who would like to keep up with the men.
Oh, uh-oh.
Yes.
Touched a nerve.
Right. And then they had, and this company had another ad with a very handsome man's face on it. And it said something about for the man who, for whatever reason, was sidelined or was ill and hadn't been working out as much.
Oh my God. Let me guess, this was an Italian company.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they were called out, and they had to take the ads down.
Good.
Right. Because, you know, and so, I believe it was Bicycling Magazine called them out and said, you know, that you, of course there are lots of women. Well, actually somebody did a very funny post, where, the husband of a famous woman cyclocross racer, a cyclocross champion, a woman.
Okay.
The husband said there was a funny photo of him. He was dressed out in bike gear, and he was crashed out on a couch. I'm so glad I have an e-bike, because then I'll be able to keep up with my wife. So it's really funny. So, of course, there are many women who can ride faster than a lot of men. I mean, even though I'm not, By far, I'm not the fastest woman in the Thread City Cyclers or in Cycling Concepts. I ride a bike faster than most men in this country.
Yes, you do.
Because most people don't ride bikes.
Right.
Right. And so even at my pace, which is not especially fast, but it's faster than most people in the country. Not most people that I know in cycling, but most people in the country.
Right.
So to say that... you know, this is for the woman who wants to try to keep up with the guys. Well, there are women who surpass the guys. Now, at a high level, of course, the men are going to tend to be faster. But, I mean, Amber Pierce could put any of us to shame.
She can dust any of us. That's right.
Right.
Absolutely.
So
that's,
I mean,
funny.
It depends on who you're talking about. So, yeah, I mean, e-bikes, it's like Sarah said, they get more people on bicycles, and I think they're a gateway.
And that's my point. I mean, that's a great point that Sarah makes, because this is, you're right, it's totally a gateway.
Because
and not a bad way either.
If you get excited about riding an e-bike, you may get excited about riding a bike without a motor. But so what? What if you don't? What if you love the e-bike? It's wonderful to be on a bike even if it has a motor in it.
So here's a comment for you. I have two friends now that are both actually on the Steeplechase Ride Committee with me, and they have both purchased e-bikes in the last year, and they've also both been on the show. that's kind of interesting too. But anyway, they've been on the show and they purchased e-bikes and they are just completely beside themselves about this e-bike. They're riding their bikes to work. They're using them for commuting. They're going out and riding them for pleasure. The one of the coolest comments I got from, yeah, I can't remember whether it was Victoria or whether it was Lee, but it might have been Victoria. She said, "I am just amazed at the smells." And you know, there it is. She's out riding her bike. She's experiencing what we experience every time we go ride our bikes. We go out, we ride our bikes. We go out in the spring, and it's before the mountain laurel season. It's when the bushes have all started to come to life, and the briar bushes are starting to explode, and the wild roses are out. And if you don't know what a wild rose smells like, go ride a bike.
I love it when they manure the fields. And also we go by silos and we smell the silage. Mm.
And then there are other sights and smells that you can have out there too. And it's all true. But you just, if you're inside of the metal box that's motorized and you're driving down the road, you never experience any of that. And now all the cars, and this drives me nuts, but all the cars now are... they're set up so that if you don't keep your windows closed with your air conditioner on, then a little light comes on and it tells you that you're not efficient because your windows are down. So you can't even smell anything because of that. So it's just kind of silly. But anyway, it's, you know, you get to experience so much more when you're out there. It makes such a huge difference. And, you know, of course, I'm obviously very, very biased. Go ride your bike. Please ride your bike. I don't care how you get out and ride your bike. If you're going to use an e-bike and that's going to make it for you and that's going to turn you around, and all of a sudden, after you've ridden your e-bike for 3 or 4 weeks, you realize that maybe you've dropped 10 pounds. Maybe you realize that you just feel so much better that you just want to do it more. I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Please, please, please get out there and ride your bike. Because riding your bike is a good thing for all of us in our environment. So Fran has taken a phone call. So I am going to move on here for the next thing on here. So on a positive side, at my local community center here in town, because it is Thanksgiving week, it is giving week, which means that people are bringing in items for the food pantry and they're taking fitness classes for free at the community center. So that's a big, big shout out to the Mansfield Community Center for doing that and helping support people who are in need and could use a little help. Remember that around Thanksgiving. There are others out there that could use your help. The soup kitchen is always looking for help. The soup kitchen is always looking for generous donations. Ride your bike over there. Hand them something. That would be a nice thing.
So during Giving Week, can anyone in the community come experience the community center or take classes, or is that not this week?
I would call the front desk on that. Okay. I am not sure exactly how that works. So that would be a front desk question, not a Ron question. So on a positive side, going back to e-bikes, we're going to go back there. What is it doing for you? Well, I'm kind of mentioning some of that. I'm mentioning about my friends who are out there and they're riding their e-bikes, and all of a sudden they've been turned on to cycling again, and they're discovering places they've never been before, and they're climbing up hills that they never would have imagined going on with their bicycle in the past, because obviously when you live in a very hilly area, some of the hills are a little daunting. You know, it can get kind of tough. So that it changes people's lives. It makes things better. It makes things very, very positive. And then the other thing you're going to see, there's a few things here that I pulled up. And the other big one is that this market, it's opening up a big market for seniors. So people who are a little bit older and are less fit than they used to be and maybe a little bit more restricted because of that, they're getting out and they're riding their bikes again. So that's a really cool thing. I've got a piece here from a UK site, and it talks about no big strains on your body because you've got a little bit of a help there. And there's people that are starting to suffer from maybe a little heart disease, you know, different things that are slowing them down. But to move is good. Arthritis, there's a big one. If you have arthritis and you move, your arthritis is less intense. And we can verify that with the doc over here on the other side.
I just wanted to say Mikey from Putnam wishes us a very happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, thank you, Mikey. Yeah. Appreciate that. Very nice. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too. He's a regular listener of ours, so it's very, very nice. Also, encourages daily activity. If you have an e-bike and you'll go out and maybe you'll ride from, you know, your house out to the grocery store and back. Maybe you'll run a few errands in town. You'll go to the post office. You'll, you know, do different things. And so the seniors are getting out and they're doing that. And they're also able to transport themselves without a license, because a lot of times as you get older, you maybe can't keep your driver's license any longer. So you have another way of transporting yourself out there. The electric assist bikes are great. Oh, this is funny. On the list here, it says you can wear regular clothes. So you don't have to look like the lycra clad individuals or the mammals as we were referred to last week on a show. You can just go out and, you know, ride in your regular clothes and ride down to the store and pick a few things up and then come back. And you're still getting activity and you're still getting exercise. Hey, I see people at the community center and they are in regular clothes. Like you and I are wearing right now. But you know what? They're there and they're moving and they're exercising, you know, and that's all I care about.
You know what clothing you should wear to exercise in?
The ones you're most comfortable
Whatever
in.
Whatever you want. What are we going to wear tomorrow?
Oh, we're going to wear costumes tomorrow.
I'm going to be Wonder Woman. You're going to be Superman.
Yay.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
That's right.
Yes. What Fran is referring to, and we referred to it on her show, the last show that we just did, is that we will be running in the Manchester Road Race tomorrow.
So look for us. If you see Wonder Woman running with Superman, that'll be us.
That's probably us. Although there may be a few others out there that are dressed that way, I'm sure. But yeah, it's kind of an annual event, and I've been doing it for way too many years. Not way too many years. I've been doing it for a long time, and it's a wonderful thing. That's it. But anyway, and it's running, not cycling. Yes, that's true. I will occasionally don the running shoes and go out and do that too, which is nice. So anyway, you know, there's great things about e-bikes, and so my on a positive side is how much they have really changed us and how we're putting people back on bicycles again. So it's a really, really cool thing. I love it. I absolutely love it. Moving on the positive side, I have we're going to go to the maintenance minute. The maintenance minute.
Wait, it's 11:22 on 11:22.
Oh, goodness. You had to do that, didn't you?
I had to.
Yeah. Okay. This is why I have Fran as my co-host and my life partner, too, because there's always entertainment with Fran around.
You never know what you're going to get.
You just never know what you're
going to get. Better than cable.
Better than cable. Far better than cable.
We have to credit Gary Schenberg with coming up with that one.
Yeah, shout out to Gary on that one. Yeah, because that is classic. Yeah. And it's also classic Fran, better than cable. I like that.
Yeah.
I use that a lot, by the way.
That I'm better than cable?
Yeah. Because you're Fran. You're fun. You never know what's going to come out. You just never do.
I'm going to African dance on my birthday.
You should.
Yes.
You should. Yeah, it's going to be Fran's birthday in like less than a week.
And I'm going to the African dance class. I'm going to the La Grua Center in Stonington and the beautiful Ashley Jones, who was a student of Abdoulaye Sila from Guinea, is going to be teaching class, and it will be at 7:30. And if you want to learn to play a drum before that, you can learn drumming, African drumming, with Matthew Dean, who is amazing.
Whoa. Are you going to ride your bike there?
No.
No. Okay. Well, I thought I'd ask. I thought I would ask. I have lights.
It's going to be, I'm not all the way to Stonington.
I have lights.
No, thanks.
I'll pick you up. I'll come back and pick you up.
Totally fine. No.
Okay. So the maintenance minute this week is a top 10 list from Bicycling Magazine. There's more than 10. They have 150 or something like that in their maintenance list here. But I thought that I would share the top 10 of good rules of thumb as far as maintenance goes with your bike. Number one, this is a funny one. I thought this was pretty funny. Never loan tools to friends. I think that goes in life with other things too. But anyway, yes, if you do loan your tools out, make sure you get them back. That's very, very important. The number two on the list is if it's threaded, grease it. Now, I know there's going to be some discussion there because there are certain things that you would not grease, but you would use some other type of disbonding agent or some sort of a thread seal or whatever. But it this is that's just a general, this is a very general thing. Number three, you can't properly adjust a bicycle that is dirty and not lubricated. Now, there's a big one right there. Clean the bike before you work on it. Clean it down, wipe it down, get the chain clean, get some lube back on the chain, and then work on your adjustments from there, because you know, you might have to drop a few bits of lube onto a few drops of lube onto the screws that are the adjustment screws on the derailleurs. You may have to do the same thing where the binder bolts are on your brakes. You know, definitely can't properly adjust a bike that's dirty and not lubricated. Good one. Perfect the art of changing a flat. Yes, good one. No excuses. No excuses. You should know how to do that. Number five, nylon tire levers are better than the metal ones. Pretty good. Yeah, I'll stick with that one. That one's okay. Number six, measure twice, then cut. Now, that's a rule of thumb in anything. If you're a woodworker, if you're a metal worker, if you're, you know, making things out of cloth, you always measure twice and then cut. And this especially goes for steerer tubes and integrated seat posts on bicycles. And number seven, when disassembling something, keep track of the order in which you remove the parts. It takes the mystery out of putting it back together. If I have a clean workbench, that's always a point of discussion. I would lay things out in an order from right to left, and then you knew exactly how you took things off, and then you could see how you could put things back on again. That way you didn't end up losing anything or leaving something behind and going, I wonder where this goes. Number eight, check the tire pressure before every ride, especially if you're running on tubeless tires or any tires. Quite honestly, I check mine almost every time I go out and ride my bike. Some people use latex tubes, some people use regular tubes, and I find that the newer the tubes are these days, they all tend to be a little thinner than they used to be, and so there's a certain amount of leaching that comes out of the tubes, so you should always check your tire pressure before you ride your bike. We had a tire pressure discussion on this a few weeks back. Number nine, the three most important tools to have on a ride: a multi-tool with a chain breaker, a pump or CO2, and a patch kit or lube. So those are, or a patch kit or tube, I'm sorry. So those are three most important things on the ride. I tend to add one more on there. I'm going to say four, and that is a cell phone. You should always have a phone with you. It's kind of an important thing. It's just in case, you know, when all else fails, you know. Number 10, when tinkering with anything near your cranks, this is a big deal, and I used to talk to my guys about it when I was teaching them mechanics at the shop. Shift into the big ring first so you don't mangle your hand on the chain ring teeth. That big chain ring will gouge you. It'll cut. It'll hurt. It's full of dirt and grit. You'll get you might cut yourself to the point where you might have a problem if you haven't had a tetanus shot in a while. So you definitely want to put it up on the big ring first before you do anything around the cranks. So those are the top 10 lists from Bicycling Magazine that I thought I would share for you on the Maintenance Minute. So those are all good rules of thumb, good for you to practice. Last week we had again, another piece from Bicycling Magazine. They always have such good stuff to play with here. I left off last week the five things that cyclists are told that are wrong by way of Bicycling Magazine. And we went through all those. And now that I was ready to go on to the next list that I had. And, of course, we ran out of time. So I will come back to it right now. And this comes from my buddies over there at the Global Cycling Network. If you haven't met them yet, if you haven't found them, they're online. They do really funny YouTube videos, and they're just a couple of very interesting and funny gentlemen who are into the whole bike world. I get a lot of entertainment from them. So a shout out to the Global Cycling Network. So number one on the list of five things that a cyclist is told, these are actually the 10 things that you are doing wrong and you shouldn't be doing wrong. Number one on the list, going out for a ride without a spare or money. Good point. Very good point. So because without, you know, a spare tire or a spare tube or any way of fixing your flat tire, you're going to be stuck. Number two, no food or water. And that is that's an essential. You have to feed the engine. You wouldn't go and drive a motorized vehicle without any gas in the tank, would you? Number three, grabbing the brakes unnecessarily. Oh, this is a big one. This could turn into a rant, but I'll be cautious because these guys do rant a lot. They're really kind of funny. But grabbing the brakes unnecessarily. I think that you will find if you run this one by our friend Skip, I think he will he'll jump all over this because he goes nuts when you're riding in a group and people are always tapping on their brakes. He has a thing about it, and I get it. I totally get it. He's right. He's totally right. So don't tap those brakes unnecessarily. The brakes are important. They definitely are important. They will stop you. They will slow you down. But you should be very, very careful about grabbing them in places where you shouldn't need to grab them. Like if you're on a group ride, you got to be a little cautious about it. Because remember, as fast as you put those brakes on, you can make someone behind you crash into you. And although it is their fault if they're the ones that crashed into you, it still creates an element of safety. So you want to not grab those brakes unnecessarily. And, learn a little bit more about how your bike operates and how to ride that bike. And you'll find you'll be using your brakes a lot less than you maybe were before. Number four on their list is the improper seat height. And it says here, rough description. This is something that, being one of those old bike weenies like I am, and I'm always doing a number of different rides, maybe group rides with people, out riding with friends, whatever it is. And I will look around and I have two pet peeves, and they are, they are the seat height, because I find that there's an awful lot of people that are not, they don't have their seat height right. And it's, where do you go here? You go somewhere where someone knows what they're doing. You go to a bicycle shop that maybe has a fitting studio and they actually know how to fit you on the bike. We have so many of them around here, it's really, really easy to find one. If you go to, let's say, even your local bike shop that maybe they don't offer a fitting studio, they probably have a much better idea of where your seat height should be than you do. And, playing around with it to a certain degree is fine, but, get a second opinion, get a third opinion, take a look and see. My number one thing that I see is the seat height is too high on a lot of people. A lot of people have their seat overextended, and when they do have their seat overextended, I find that when they get to the bottom of that stroke, they're pointing their toes through the pedal stroke at the bottom, which is not going to give you the power that you need to pull your legs through. I've had a number of people come up to me and say, your seat looks really low. And then I will simply pop my foot out of the pedal and I'll put my heel on the pedal and it just barely touches, if at all. And they'll go, oh, well, okay. And I go, look, you really shouldn't hyperextend your knee. It's not really good for you. And if you're pointing your toes through your stroke, you're really not going to be pedaling very efficiently, and you're eventually going to hurt your knees. So you got to be careful of that sort of thing. So make sure your seat height is correct. Occasionally I will see people with their seat height that is too low, but I more often see improper seat height as being too high. So that's something you might want to get some opinion on. Ask a few people. Ask people who have been doing this for a long time. They can help you out with that. The other thing that I see, I'm going to add to this one too, is people that ride bicycle shorts, they're wearing the Lycra shorts, and they buy a size too big because they're afraid of the Lycra being so tight against their body that they might be, exposing themselves or what it is that they fear about it. But you know what? Those shorts are made to fit you like a second skin. And if they don't, they're too big. And they're not going to help you if they're too big. So that's another thing that
I see. Chafe.
And you'll chafe. All sorts of things will happen. It's just not good. You want to get the right size. Once again, your LBS will give you good advice on that. They'll have shorts you can actually try on, and you can make your choice from that point. And you can also ask their opinion. Number five, they call it the rain cape, or we call them raincoats or rain jackets here, but this is from their British group, so they call it a rain cape. Putting your rain cape in the dryer, and I'm going to add to that, or other cycling clothes in the dryer. If you come to our house on laundry day, oh, what a good time that is. We have more cycling and workout clothes strewn all over the house than you could possibly imagine, because anything that is technical, anything that is a wicking fabric, anything that we use to ride our bikes or to go running with or whatever, is it's all dried on clothing racks outside of the dryer. Don't dry your valuables in the dryer. They'll last a lot longer, and you'll be a lot happier in the long run. Okay, another thing that cyclists are doing wrong, according to the Global Cycling Network here, is unable to clip at intersection or stop. Unclip, excuse me, at intersection or stop. So you got to learn how to do this. It's as, there are certain positions that your pedal can be in on the bike that will help you with this. A lot of times, if you have your foot all the way down at the bottom of the pedal stroke, you'll find it a little bit easier to get out there. Some people prefer to either be there or at the halfway point. So they're not all the way at the top of the stroke or at the bottom of the stroke, but halfway between. And then they have a little bit more leverage kicking their feet out. One thing that I have noticed over the years with men and women on bicycles is that women tend to have a little bit more trouble with this than men do, which is very interesting. And I had a talk with a physical therapist. I think she was a physical therapist. Yeah. And over in Rhode Island, I was working at a bicycle shop over there for a big sale one day. And we got to talking about pedals and pedal choices and the ability to clip in and out. And we got into this whole discussion, and I mentioned something to her about the fact that it seems like women have more trouble with this than men do. And so I used to put women that came to my bicycle shop when I had the bicycle shop on a specific brand of pedal because it was far easier to get out of than the others that are out there. And that was my selling point on that particular pedal. And she agreed with me. She said that that's why she was riding them too. So she was doing the exact same thing. Anyway, choose your pedals carefully, as if you can't get out of them or into them easily and quickly, you might want to consider a different pedal. So, and you need to learn how to get out of that thing when you come to a stop, because there's nothing more embarrassing. And I've done it. I did it when I got my first pair of clipless pedals, and I know others that have done the same thing. And that is, you come to a stop and you don't click out, or you click out on the right side and then you fall the opposite direction because you didn't think about the fact that you need to also lean that way, that you kick your foot out. I know there's other people that out there have done that. I'm not the only one. Go ahead. You can admit it. Check it out on my Facebook page. I'd love to hear comments on that one. So unable to unclip at intersections or stops. You need to learn how to do that. More importantly, you also need to learn how to clip back in. So that's important too. I always start with one foot, usually my dominant leg, which is my right leg, in the pedal to start with. And that way, even if I can't get my other foot in right away, I can just do a one-legged pedal away from the intersection enough to get myself going, and then I can fiddle with getting the other foot in. So another little tip there. Braking in the corners. Yep, we were talking about braking here earlier. Oh, yeah. So grabbing the brakes unnecessarily, yeah, or braking in the corner here on number seven. Braking in the corner is not good. It's really the same way when you're driving a motorized vehicle. You really shouldn't be hitting your brakes in the corner. Your brakes are there to be applied before you go into the corner, not while you're in the corner. Because when you do that, you lose a certain level of control on your bicycle or your motorized vehicle. And you want to try to avoid that so you can maintain your control on your bicycle. So tap the brakes a little bit just before you go into the corner, then go into the corner, and then you're fine. Number eight, too much or the wrong lube on your chain. Yeah, we had a whole chain lube discussion on the Maintenance Minute a few episodes back, and this is a big deal. People think, well, you know, my chain needs oil, my car uses oil, I'm going to use the oil I put in my car on my chain. Please don't do that. No. There are specific oils that are made for bicycle chains, and they are much, much thinner than the oil that you're going to use on your the engine of your car. They are the oil used in the engine of your car is also there to be dealing with a lot of heat, and you don't need to deal with that on your bicycle chain, and your chain just gets really goopy and disgusting and not good. So there's lots of great chain lubes out there. Everyone has an opinion about that. We did discuss this a few episodes ago. So if you're curious about it, just look back on a few episodes and you can find that. So don't use the wrong lube on your chain or too much of it. And number 9, using the wrong gear or cadence. Use your gears. Okay, here's another one. This is kind of a little pet peeve thing right here. I see people doing this all the time where they're not allowing themselves to use the gears that they have on their bicycle. You've got great gears on your bicycle. You've got the ability to shift when the pedaling gets harder. So use it. You want to keep the cadence high, and you want to use the your gears. That's what they're there for. So shift. It's okay. And then try to maintain a really smooth and equal cadence. Yeah, you're going to lose a little going up hills. There's no question about that, unless you're a professional bicycle racer, which I don't know how the heck they climb hills at 90 RPMs, but they seem to do a fine job of it. But, you know, learn this. Learn how to be in the right gear at the right time. It takes practice. You know what the best thing about getting practice when you're learning how to deal with the gears? You get to ride your bike. So use your gears. And then number 10 on their list, I thought this was kind of funny, wearing underwear under your cycling shorts, where you'll have a VPL is what it's called. Franny, do you know what a VPL is?
A very prominent line.
You're close. You got the last part. Very good. You got the last part. Here, it's a visible panty line.
Oh, right.
Otherwise known as a VPL. So, okay, this is a thing where, and we might explore this a little further when we get into, maybe in another episode I'll talk all about cycling shorts and why, and we can get a little bit more involved in this, and at which point we'll also bring Fran into the game here, because she is the lube queen. She loves her lube, and she loves to wear... She loves her chamois butters and that sort of thing. And it's not an embarrassing thing. Look, she's being embarrassed on the radio. Can you guys see? No, you can't.
It's a very important health issue to have the right kind of chamois cream and chamois butter.
We got to do this at another time, because you know there's so much more to discuss right now. And but anyway, visible panty lines. Yes, that is. We can tell when you're wearing underwear under your Lycra shorts, especially if you have a proper fitting Lycra short, because you can see it. But you're asking for nothing but trouble by wearing underwear under your cycling shorts.
Because,
don't do it. Don't do it. We'll discuss it on another show. We'll definitely discuss it on another show. I got a notice from a friend of mine, Mark, who is he's actually a rep in the bicycle industry, as I am, and he is also a longtime bicycle racer that I met when he was just a teenager. He used to come out to my cyclocross race. Big shout out to Mark McCormick. And he made a list of items that has changed cycling in their own way. And each of them had their critics in progress, usually from people who didn't have all the facts or any experience with the product. I am glad that each of these things came to be and that our industry continues to innovate. So what brought this on? Well, it came on through this e-bike conversation that was going around, and there were some trolls that were saying only, you know, the purest bicycles don't ride e-bikes, you know, and it's just, you know, and then I got a comment there that was about lazy people ride e-bikes. That's not necessarily true. It could be someone who's physically impaired that rides an e-bike. So, you know, anyway, top of the list, because this was the discussion that was going back and forth, and we were ranting back and forth with one another, was e-bikes. So these are things that continue to innovate our industry. And elastomers integrated into carbon frames. That is something that a company, I believe it's Specialized, that uses that technology in their frames. And it helps dampen out the carbon a little bit, making it a little bit more comfortable for you to ride.
Yes, it's in my my Dolce Elite.
Right.
I have elastomer in the frame.
Right. Another big innovation that came out, gravel bikes. Gravel bikes, otherwise known in my world as a modified cyclocross bike or a cyclocross bike on steroids, they're pretty popular.
Why is it on steroids?
Because they're beefier, heavier, they take a wider tire, they're different than a cross bike.
Oh.
I am very happy with my cross bike, and my cross bike and I are one with one another.
So why did you get me a gravel grinder?
Because that's what was available, because cross bikes are becoming harder to find.
Really?
Gravel grinders. Gravel grinder is a big deal right now. It's a big way that the industry, here's a gripe to the industry. And Mark, if you're listening, let's see. I'd love to hear your feedback on this. The bicycle industry I've been in it for a very, very long time, over 40 years. And the bike industry, in their desperation to find ways of putting more people on bicycles, continues to market another way to put the same person on a bicycle, which doesn't really put more people on bicycles. It just sells them more bikes.
I wonder, though, if the gravel grinder is a kind of bicycle that is more accessible, that it is, that in fact is going to put more people on bikes. That category, whereas somebody who's just getting into cycling might not get into they won't get on a cyclocross bike, but they might get onto a gravel grinder.
Right.
I mean, they might get onto a hybrid, but perhaps they want the drop bars.
Right.
So they're going to want to go for that gravel grinder. There's a market there. I think.
Oh, there is. There's totally a market there. And yeah. And it's, but, you know, that market existed 30 years ago.
Okay.
I used to, you know, push people onto cross bikes when they would come in the door and they'd say, I'm looking at a mountain bike. I'm thinking about it. I'm looking at a road bike. I'm thinking about it. I can only afford one bike. And so this is where a gravel grinder comes in. This is where a cross bike comes in. Buy that instead. Go in that direction. And then if you feel like you want some way of making it more roadworthy, grab yourself another set of wheels if you can, and then have a set of road wheels. Or you can swap the tires out. That's a little more time consuming and you know, kind of a pain in the butt to do. But I would just, if you can afford to buy the cross bike / gravel bike and then a set of road wheels, you've pretty much got your world filled in. And that's a good thing. It's definitely a good thing. And I've been encouraging people to do that for many, many, many years. Another thing that's sitting on here, disc brakes on road bikes. Well, we've had a positive and negative discussion about that. I'm still in the rather not see them phase, but anyway, the disc brakes on cross bikes. Well, that's another one. And once again, if you're riding on carbon wheels and you are looking for better braking action and more control, disc brakes definitely help out. Wireless shifting. That's another innovation that's out there. I know a lot of people that love their wireless shifting. I like my cables. I'm an old school guy. I still own a steel bicycle. I own a couple of steel bicycles. I also have carbon bicycles. I'm not completely out in the far, far-reaching darkness there. One by derive trains. Okay, this is kind of a new thing. This just really recently happened, and it is the one by drive trains are. It enable you to only have one chain ring in the front, so you don't have that front derailleur issue any longer. They're showing up a lot more on gravel grinders and cross bikes, so you don't have a problem with dropping chains in certain areas. And there's a company by the name of SRAM that has built I saw one the other day at a bike shop, and it's like there's like a 42-tooth chain ring in the back. It's crazy big. So you get all the diversity of having the really low gear and then the really big gear. But now that we're up to adding more gears into the back end of the bike, you can now have a full selection of gears with only one chain ring in the front. And that would be the one by drivetrain. Electronic shifting falls into the wireless shifting, but those are two very different things. There's a couple of different things that are going on there. But yeah, electronic shifting is another thing. Fat bikes. fat bikes are fun. Let's if you have not yet ridden a fat bike, if you haven't had the chance, go see your local bike shop. They probably have one in stock. There's probably one of the guys who works there or girls that works there that has one in the back that they're using all the time, and they'll let you take it out for a ride. It's a hoot. It'll put a big smile on your face. I have not seen anyone come back from riding a fat bike that hasn't had a huge grin on their face. And I can't say anymore. You just have to go there to experience it. Another innovation piece, 29ers. Well, what is a 29er? Well, a 29er is a 700C wheel, but because you put a really fat, monstrous tire on it like a mountain bike would use, it now becomes a 29-inch wheel instead of a 700C wheel. And, of course, me being the old-time pure cyclocross guy from the past and have never really swayed away from that, I've been riding a 29er my whole life. Moving forward. Carbon fiber rims. Yeah, carbon fiber rims they're lighter. They have an aerodynamic aspect to them, although there's a lot of discussion about aerodynamic aspects these days. So there are some discussion there. Carbon fiber frames. This is a big one. And carbon fiber forks. We'll put them both out there. I remember when the first thing that came out with a carbon fiber fork, I believe Time was making them. I think they were the first ones to innovate the carbon fiber fork. They were scary light, and they were stiffer than a steel fork, and yet at the same time, they had a little bit more forgiving aspect to them. The very first ones were a little scarier than the ones that are made now. They're far more dependable, and they don't have as many problems with them. Another piece that came into the puzzle many, many years ago, there was a company right here in Connecticut called Cannondale, and they came through with something called an aluminum frame. And that was a big innovation in the bike world. And we still make bicycles out of aluminum. And they, again, different riding characteristics. The aluminum frames of yesterday are way, way, way different than the aluminum frames of today. I will say that the original ones were probably the best way to put it is, best word I could choose is harsh as far as the ride goes. And they still have a certain aspect, but, you know, there's a debate on that one. Disc brakes on mountain bikes. Hear. Yeah, that was a big deal. Putting a disc brake on a mountain bike made a lot more sense because the rims, when you're riding a mountain bike, if you're riding through a lot of mud and sand and grit and all that, you can carve through not just a set of brake pads, but a set of rims in a short period of time. And let me tell you, when you carve through a rim on a bike, when you actually wear it down to the point where it's so thin that the tire blows off the rim and you see fragments of the rim that are kind of dangling off of the bike, yeah, I've seen it a number of times. It can happen. So you need to inspect your rims occasionally if you're riding a mountain bike off-road a lot and it is a rim brake bike. The disc brakes made a big difference there, although you do go through a lot of brake pads and there is a certain amount of maintenance involved on them also. But they do make a big difference because they won't wear your rims out. And on the other side of that, if you were to bend a rim while riding your mountain bike, you have less of a problem with brake rub when you have a disc brake. Full suspension on mountain bikes. Yeah, that was a big deal. That's, moving into more of the motorized two-wheeled object. That's where the technology comes from. They went to putting on mountain bikes. Boy, that technology, it seems to change daily. There's always a newest, latest, and greatest, but the full suspension on the mountain bike has made a pretty big impact in the bicycle industry and the bike business. The other thing is that I know people who have issues with their lower backs and have had issues for many years, and when we went to a full suspension bike, the issues went away. So they can be much more comfortable and much easier on your lower back. They will be a little heavier, but again, they can get lighter. You just have to spend a lot more money. Whatever. Integrated shift levers. Okay, this is possibly one of the biggest innovations I have seen in a long time. Having your brake levers and your shift levers all in one easy place to work with, it's kind of a nice thing. It is heavier. There's no question about that. but it is pretty nice to not have to take your hands off of the brake and shift levers in order to do everything you need to do. A little more control on your bike, certainly a lot smoother and cleaner shifting. And again, the technology is getting better and better every day, so it's really very clean. Clip-on aero handlebars. Remember Greg LeMond? Anybody out there who has been around bicycle racing for a real long time, we had Greg LeMond showed up at the Tour de France with a set of Scott clipless aero handlebars. And everybody looked at him like, what are you doing to your bike? What is on your bike? And he just put them on a regular set of road bars, and he got himself into a more aerodynamic position, and he did extremely well with it. So all of a sudden, there was a new age developed of aero handlebars, and there were just all different types that you could get eventually. But the very first ones that I remember were made by a company called Scott, and that was on Greg LeMond's bike in the Tour de France, so that was kind of a cool thing. Titanium frames. Yes, frames made out of titanium tubing. Titanium is a very interesting material. It has a steel-like feel to it, but it is a little lighter than steel. And it tends to be, there's a different riding characteristic to it too, a comfort level, which is different than that of the steel frame. Index shifting, another thing on the list here. Index shifting, that was, remember back in the days when we just had friction shifting on our down tubes? Come on, old guys, I know you're out there, old girls, I know you're out there. You remember all this. So now you can click from one gear to the next gear, and it's very positive. And again, the technology has gotten better and better. So index shifting is a really great way to get lots more people riding bicycles without having to worry about, oh my gosh, I don't know if I'm going to shift this right or whatever. So it's a good thing. Clipless pedals. Now, clipless pedals, when they first came out, they were extremely popular. They were almost impossible to get your hands on if you owned a bicycle shop because they were selling them way faster than they could get them in. And so I ended up establishing a connection with a distributor over in France, and we were air freighting ours into Bradley Field in Hartford and going up, and twice a week we would go up and we'd pick up another box of clipless pedals. And I was one of the few stores that actually had them when no one else had them. So that was kind of a fun thing. Why did I like clipless pedals? Because I think clipless pedals are the best innovation since the rear derailleur. And if you know what your rear derailleur does and how important it is on your bike, let's see if you agree with me on that one. Clipless pedals make it so much easier to get in and out of your bike and on and off your bike. They're way safer than using a toe clip and a strap. And they bind you into the bike better than any toe clip and strap arrangement that there is out there. They really do work well. So clipless pedals are a big deal. They definitely help. And then multiple gears is the last thing on Mark's list here. And he states it, we are now up to 12-speed cassettes. Yeah, really. I just didn't think they'd go there. I really wanted them to stop at 8 because the 8-speed just worked nice. Never had any issues or you know, just like little problems. And you know, it just not as finicky as when we move up into these higher numbers. And they're always going to be a little bit more finicky when you've got a super narrow chain and super narrow gears, and that's exactly how they're doing this. And everything has to be very, very precise, which is why if you own a modern day bicycle and you don't have a derailleur hanger tool, I strongly encourage you to get yourself a derailleur hanger tool. We can bring that up on another time. But 12-speed cassettes. We're up to 12 speeds now, Frank. Can you believe that? Okay, moving on here. Anybody out there have any more road booty they want to share with us? We haven't heard anything from anybody on road booty. You can always reply to me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com, or you can also go to the Facebook page, Bicycle Talk, and let me know what you found on the road, which is like a really cool find. Moving from that point, we go to upcoming events, and the upcoming event is Thanksgiving. Yay, it's going to be Thanksgiving. It is the season of eating. Here we go. I know that we had a discussion about that earlier. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your friends. Go for a bike ride. Then go eat your dinner. What a great thing to do. Think about that. Ride your bike over to dinner. Have dinner. Enjoy. Ride home. But Thanksgiving, it's a good time of year. It's a happy time of year. hopefully it's happy for a lot of people. And so anyway, enjoy your Thanksgiving. The Connecticut Series of Cross continues, and there are two more races. And one is this weekend on November 24th in Bethlehem, Connecticut. It's March Farms Cross. And the last one of the series is December 17th in New Haven, and that's Elm City Cross. And you can find those both on Bike Ridge. Also, Cross Nationals next year being January. January 9th through the 14th of 2018. It is in Reno, Nevada, and very similar to the times and dates that were used at the Hartford National Cyclocross Race of 2017. My name is Pedlin Ron, and you have been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, the lovely Fran Storch. Are you still there?
Yeah.
A show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. You can send me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com, and you can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org or on iTunes. If you'd like to contribute to or be on the show as a guest, please contact me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. Thanks for listening.